Indeed it does. And a fun first hour there. Had Will Graves of the Associated Press, covers the Pittsburgh Steelers. Talk about the Sacramento Kings, Los Angeles Lakers, Minnesota Timberwolves. That was actually not the funnest, most fun, most enjoyable part of the show. But we got a big weekend of NFL action ahead. If you're not aware, and I'm sure you are, Kings got it handed to them last night by the Minnesota Timberwolves. Minnesota's a better team. There's nothing we could do about that. We caught a little audible, though. Actually, we didn't. Garrett did. Garrett Temple is going to join us in 30 minutes. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings will be with us at 1:30. So plan accordingly. And Jason's mystery game, it's coming up at 2:30.
Okay.
Right after our Friday Five. I have no idea what this is, but Jason, you've been very eager for this for about a week now.
Yeah, I just one little spot reserved.
All right. Yeah. Jason's mystery game.
Mystery game that's sweeping the nation.
Yep, at 2:30. We'll give you details how you can win tickets to the NCAA doubleheader at the Golden One Center. Happy to bring in our friend Drew Davidson at the Star Telegram, covers the Dallas Cowboys. Drew, how you feeling about your playoff chances?
Oh, I mean, the Cowboys certainly face an uphill battle. I mean, they're still not looking too great, but, you know, certainly they need to win out. I mean, if they stumble here one of these final three games, they're pretty much toast. But, you know, even if they get to 10 wins, the tiebreakers certainly don't go in their favor. So I mean, they certainly face an uphill battle.
Well, in the last 2 weeks, to get the wins they needed to at least put them in this spot, it sure seems like they got back to that running game. Was that something you felt they were ignoring with Zeke being out? Because they've gotten some good results the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily ignoring it. I mean, it just wasn't very good. You know, it took some time for Alfred Morris and Rod Smith to really get going and get adjusted. And also, I mean, they were playing catch-up a lot of times in those first three games about Ezekiel Elliott getting blown out by 20-plus points. So it was kind of a combination of things, but certainly it looks like they've, you know, kind of found their footing with the running game. And let's be honest, it also helped facing a team like the New York Giants, the worst defense in the league.
What do you think about this matchup this weekend with the Oakland Raiders? There are some who at one point thought this might be a Super Bowl preview. a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, some people thought this game this weekend might be a Super Bowl preview. Now, it's pretty much out of the question for that to happen because Jason and I have said the losers, you know, virtually eliminated here. But what type of game plan do you think the Cowboys will have for this Raider team that is, you know, kind of in the same boat that they are?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are you know, fortunate that Amari Cooper isn't playing because they do have a very young secondary. Their top three cornerbacks are all rookies, so that should benefit. But I think the Cowboys are going to kind of stick to their same approach. I mean, here the last couple of years, kind of the winning formula has been established the running game, and then, you know, try and get the explosive play, the big play here and there, and really just kind of grind out wins by eating up the clock. So I think, you know, you're going to see a heavy dose of Alfred Morris and Rod Smith early on, and really the Cowboys, you know, trying to establish the running game, because if they can do that, that really opens up things for Dak Prescott.
Yeah, and you mentioned Dak, Drew. I was a little surprised. Not that they lost those three games, because, I mean, they did play some good teams. Falcons, who else was it? It was the Eagles and the Chargers. But the fact that they just couldn't score, and I thought Dak would be able to lead them a little bit more. I mean, did that little run surprise you that Dak couldn't carry the team a little bit more without that running game?
Yeah, I mean, it was very surprising. I mean, it was the first time in franchise history that, you know, the Cowboys had single-digit points in three straight games. And everyone knew it would be tough for the Cowboys without Ezekiel Elliott, but to lose three straight by 20-plus points, I don't think anyone saw that coming. I mean, if they would have lost, you know, lost three games, maybe by a total of 10 points or something like that, a lot different story. But, you know, Dak Prescott grew from it. You know, he really looked like a fourth-round pick, a second-year player, during that stretch, trying to force things, making bad throws, bad reads. And, you know, he looked lost at times, but, you know, it seems like he settled down, and kind of, you know, regained his composure, so to speak. And certainly, you know, it kills the Cowboys or took him time, just like I think it would with any team. I mean, Ezekiel, it's really their biggest playmaker, biggest home run threat. So they just needed to figure out how tough life would be without him.
Drew Davidson of the Star-Telegram with us here. The Cowboys are in Oakland. They'll take on the Raiders Sunday Night Football. You can catch that game here on Sports 1140 beginning at 5 o'clock. You just talked about the biggest playmaker offensively for the Dallas Cowboys. Do you think you can explain the Sean Lee phenomenon that has taken over the Dallas Cowboys defense?
Yeah, I mean, Rod Marinelli, obviously he's a little biased, but, you know, he said it last year and he repeated it the other day that he thinks, you know, when Sean Lee's up and running, there's no better defensive player in the league. And you know, Sean Lee had a 20-tackle game against the Giants, and clearly his presence is felt in the game, and he just has the nose for the ball. You know, and really, I think he'd be more of a household name had he not battled so many injuries throughout his career. But you know, that's kind of what's really held him back. And Sean today, of course, you know, gave credit to a guy like DeMarcus Lawrence, who's getting pressure on the quarterback and the defensive line for you know, kind of opening up the holes and making his job easier to do. But certainly, you know, he was earned All-Pro honors last season, and you know, people are beginning to see why.
You know, Drew, we've talked a little bit about the offense. We mentioned Sean Lee in the defense. One thing that really hasn't been a problem for Dallas has been their kicking game, Dan Bailey, except for last week. That was kind of a weird week where he missed his first PAT. He missed a couple of field goals, too. Was that just one of those things, or is this something Cowboys should be concerned about?
You know, right now they say they're not concerned about. They think it's just a fluky game. The two missed field goals were from 50-plus yards, so you know, I think around the league, those are kind of a coin flip. You know, obviously those aren't automatic, but Bailey had enough legs, so seems like he's healthy. And then the missed PAT was just a bad kick on his part. So, you know, he hasn't blamed an injury, and he never even blamed the wind. I mean, the wind's kind of notoriously swirly up in the Meadowlands, but you know, the Cowboys are confident he's going to bounce back. And you know, there's not too much concern. And as far as health, you know, he said he's healthy. So that's all we can really go off of.
Drew, was there any talk in the Cowboys organization about Ezekiel Elliott serving his suspension earlier in the year?
Yes. I mean, there was. And you know, a lot of people think, hey, they might have been able to salvage their season, you know, had he just bit the bullet, so to speak. But, you know, the Cowboys supported Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he's maintained his innocence. He's maintained that, you know, he did not domestically abuse his ex-girlfriend like she's claimed. And you know, there's obviously been a lot of question marks, I guess, throughout the story. So, you know, he is fighting for his name, fighting for his reputation. The Cowboys don't regret him doing that. Even though, in hindsight, maybe it would have been best for the team if he just would have knocked out the suspension early on. But, you know, if you're wrongfully accused, the Cowboys certainly understood why he exhausted all legal battles.
Yeah, Drew, for us, obviously, we're not there. He's kind of out of sight, out of mind. What's it like? I mean, is he completely away from everything, or do you guys still get a chance to see him at all in practice? I don't even know how that was kind of relegated by the league.
Yeah, so, no, he is not allowed to have contact with his coaches or anyone within the front office, of course, players and things of that. You know, Jason Witten and Dak Prescott have kind of kept in touch. But, yeah, Zeke is not allowed in the facility. If a player is suspended for recreational drugs or substance abuse, they are allowed to be at the facility and in team meetings and workout. They just can't be in team meetings or practice, so they're allowed to be there. But if it's performance-enhancing drugs or personal conduct, they can't be at the facility. So, Ezekiel Elliott's reportedly been in Cabo working out until he joined the Cowboys on Monday.
That's where I go to work out.
As far as the Cowboys, they haven't been able to have any contact with them.
You should have been covering him from Cabo. That's the story you should have had.
Ezekiel Elliott assignment.
Next week, win or lose this Sunday, is he just right back in? I mean, right back in the mix, normal carries. Is that the plan?
Yeah, I mean, you know, assuming he comes back in shape and Scott Linehan and Jason Garrett and the Cowboys expect him to be in shape and ready to go, he should step back right in into that number one workhorse type role for the Cowboys. And especially, you know, if they're still in the playoff hunt going up against the Seahawks, there's no reason to think he won't get, you know, just as many carries as he would in any other game. Unless, of course, you know, the Cowboys don't think he's in shape or don't think he can handle the workload, but their full expectation is he's going to be ready to go next week.
Drew, we appreciate you as always, my friend. Enjoy the game this weekend.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
All right, that is Drew Davidson, Star Telegram, covers the Dallas Cowboys. Obviously, it's the Cowboys and the Raiders, Sunday Night Football. Coverage beginning at 5 o'clock here on Sports 1140.
Get that Cabo or something. Yeah, boss, I'll go. I'll cover him, see how it's working. Got to make sure he's training and working out and in shape for when he comes back.
Need a per diem.
Yep, 6 weeks. Is he there the whole time? Man, that's a heck of a... I'll give you a story a day. I'll write something about it.
Today, Ezekiel ate pineapple.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he ate it again the next day.
He did, indeed. Yeah. Cabo sounds like the type of place you drink coconut Ciroc or French vanilla Ciroc.
Yeah. That's
pineapple Ciroc.
And Sacramento.
Sacramento. It's a great place to do it. Yeah. Great place. Right, Chris?
Great. Great.
See, there it is. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings is going to join us at 1:30. So the Raiders and the Cowboys. Winner stays alive. Loser just licks their wounds, man.
Yeah, I forgot. He mentioned they would have Seattle. So, like, great, we survive. We have Seattle. Oh, the Raiders, you survive. You have the Eagle. I mean, then the Chargers.
The Cowboys end their season with Philly. So it's not. It's like, okay, great.
Are you prolonging the misery?
It's pops and fry. You live.
Yeah.
You live to fight another day.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
Right.
That's all it is. 49ers and the Titans. That's the other local game this weekend. We did the morning show on Monday with our buddy Kyle Mattson. He writes for Titans Wire, covers the Titans pretty extensively, and he's not feeling them this week. You're a Marcus Mariota guy. You're not feeling Marcus Mariota this week. Are we all on the 49ers to beat the Titans this week?
I'm almost there.
Not there yet?
I'm almost there, but I mean, Jimmy G can do anything he wants, right?
The Titans need to win.
Yes, they do. Niners don't.
We're talking about, right, but I think Jimmy Garoppolo is enjoying being undefeated.
Yeah, absolutely. He still has that record intact.
The Titans, like, they're fighting to keep up pace with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They could fall out of this thing if they're not careful.
Yeah, they're one of the few teams that's trailing, but if they win out, would win because they still play Jacksonville. They'd have the tiebreaker. So if they win all three, they are the champs of that division. So they're on that swing, too, where a couple of bad weeks, they're out. A couple of great weeks, they're hosting a playoff game. So, I mean, that's the kind of swing you have here this late in the year. And Tennessee's let a few games go.
Yeah.
And they'll kick themselves for missing. Again, you're playing the Niners late in the year. It's not a great team. If you're a playoff team, you need to win that game if you're Tennessee.
Yeah, and Tennessee's, they're not in, as we said, they've got to be careful. Like, this would be a really bad loss for them moving forward because they're in good shape right now. You know, they're in it, as you say. They're 8-5, but dropping to 7-6 because you lost to the San Francisco 49ers, that. And then, you know, we talked about this last week, and teams going in different directions. It would be really tough for them to fall into the playoffs because they're just that
the Titans, this, yeah, they just now have to earn it.
Now we're seeing a string of them not playing well.
Right.
Because we haven't seen them play well now for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
But the 49ers, are the 49ers the football version of the Sixers, the process?
I don't know. I mean, where are you going with the comparison there?
Next year, technically next year, this upcoming draft.
Okay.
They have all of those draft picks. They're going to have a really good top, I don't know. I don't know how many games they're going to win. I think they're sixth maybe right now.
Somewhere in there.
Fifth or sixth. they're gonna. Point is, they're gonna have a really good draft pick. Yeah. They could have an opportunity to retool that offensive line, and they did something that, you know, 10 weeks ago, no one thought we would. We didn't think we would be having the conversation about the San Francisco 49ers already having their quarterback of the future moving forward. So they have their. You know, when did the process? Like they got the number one pick or something, and it was like, oh, the process is over, and it was like, wait. Now? Yeah. Like, did it just arbitrarily end? And with the 49ers, we felt like, well, their biggest piece that they have to get, they need a lot of them, but the biggest piece is the quarterback. Well, to everyone's shock, they got it in the middle of the year. So now they can use that, all of those draft picks, that treasure trove of draft picks, which, by the way, they could turn into more from a team that freaks out and gets desperate and want a certain quarterback and trades up. They could get draft picks, first-round draft picks, for the next couple of years, throw in a couple seconds this year, you could completely retool that offensive line, maybe get one super skill position player, and suddenly, next year, we're talking about this team hovering around 6-7 wins late in the season.
Can Lynch do it again? Last year, it was just one subtle move. He convinced the Bears that there were enough teams interested in that number two pick, and he moved back one. Well, they still got a pick they wanted, and Thomas at three got more from the Bears. They move up and get Trubisky. Well, if, by all accounts, the mock drafts are already out, they're listing four quarterbacks in the first round at the moment. Mayfield, Allen, Darnold if he comes out, and Rosen. So there are going to be teams that aren't in the Niners' position, that aren't making the playoffs, that don't have the quarterback of the future, that are trying to get in there. So I think they definitely should do that to look to just bolster with more picks. Someone's going to be desperate to say, we need the quarterback of the future. All right, call us.
Yeah, who's
what do you want for him?
Who's going to freak out? Who's going to make that move? And what are the Giants going to do?
Right.
Because remember, it was just a couple of weeks ago that the Giants benched their quarterback with that long, you know, starting streak that they completely threw in the trash because they wanted to evaluate their young quarterback that they still haven't evaluated. So what does that mean for – is it Davis Webb? What does that mean for him? Like, are they going Josh Rosen? Are they going quarterback at what is right now number two?
I feel like they're in a more difficult situation almost than Cleveland. I don't see how Cleveland could not pick a quarterback. Where if the Giants didn't, then they're going with Eli, right? If they didn't take a quarterback, I don't think it's the end of the world for them. The Cleveland Browns have to.
I agree.
But that's where it's difficult. But, I mean, you're also, this is the highest they've picked in a long time. You would likely think you're getting a quality quarterback.
It's worth pointing out, too, Cleveland has what's right now the seventh pick. Is that from Houston? I can't remember who the deal was with. Houston? I can't remember who it was with. But they have another very high pick.
Well, I think this even reminds me a little bit of the year.
Maybe they'll take two quarterbacks. Didn't you say that the other day?
Would that be wrong?
They would take two quarterbacks. But one of them's got to work, right?
It was your team, the Cowboys. So the year they were picking, they took Ezekiel. Ezekiel Elliott at four. There was some talk, you know, they still had Romo. Romo was still going to be the quarterback. They never picked that high. Yeah. There were some quarterbacks there. Yep. Does it make sense because you're picking four? You're not picking 18 or 26 to maybe try a quarterback. Well, they got Zeke and it worked out, but Romo did get hurt. They got Prescott, who's turned out. But what if that's the year they elected to take, I don't know, Wentz, if no one had moved up or they got, you know, someone there?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think is who was the quarterback that they were.
I think we were talking about Goff or Wentz if they didn't. Because remember, they were ranked.
Right, that's right.
10
yeah.
or 11, but then they
and then those deals were
up.
Done.
Yeah, so it's like, well. Would it make sense for them to get Goff or Wentz when they're picking four? You know, they've got Romo, but so kind of the same idea for the Giants. They've got a quarterback. They don't have to do it, but they don't usually pick top five. And right now they're picking two. You know, Denver's in that spot. I think they're four. They're probably going to be looking at a quarterback. We know the Browns should be looking at a quarterback. So, I mean, the Colts are down there.
I don't know why you saying Denver's looking for a quarterback made me laugh.
Yeah.
They just
keep drafting every year.
What
at a quarterback.
Are they going to do?
Yeah.
I will get it right. Why isn't John Elway getting killed for this?
I think we do it, but other than that.
Oh, my gosh, man. I'm looking to see who is drafted after Ezekiel Elliott. By the way, Eli Apple, I'm just because I'm looking at that draft, another New York Giant. The Giants, they have some internal issues they need to get dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if that's, you know, they obviously dealt with the coach issue. We thought that would be the biggest problem. But they're still dealing with, Eli Apple was sitting on the sideline tweeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a no-no. Like, you can't, that's not just a team rule. That's a league rule. You can't do that. But he hasn't played in 3 weeks. And now he's, like, begging in the media. Like, I just want to play. Like, I want to play football. So, yeah, they have all sorts of issues. I'm just looking at the quarterbacks that year. Jared Goff, obviously, and Carson Wentz. The draft is so funny. Oh, I don't even know if – I mean, we're talking mid to late first round, guys. I mean, come on. There's no clear cut, you know, number one overall pick. And then suddenly, oh, Jared Goff is going – oh, wait, hold
another
on.
Trade.
The Rams moved up. Oh, Philly, nah, got to move. Yeah. Got to move. Let's get going. Yeah. Come on.
Last year, no great quarterbacks. Where are they going to go? Boom, Chicago moves up, number two. Take Trubisky. Deshaun Watson, maybe late first rounder, maybe second rounder. Boom, move up to get him. Mahomes goes top 10. It's like, what is going on?
Patrick Mahomes went 10.
They value quarterbacks. And now some are ranked that high. What is this going to be like?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, we haven't even seen play. Haven't seen him play at all.
What if Cleveland moves back? Because they might not be able to say, I don't know, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, Mayfield.
So they punt?
One of them at like, no, we'll get one at like, someone else wants in.
Well, they could use. I guess they could
and
use.
And they have six. They have like 1 and 6 right now.
Yeah, they could use that. They could use six. Yeah. I don't know who.
And get more picks.
I mean, if you're trading for the number one pick, right, you're trading for a quarterback.
Yes.
That's.
This draft
that's
specifically.
It. Right. You're trading for a quarterback. Yeah.
Like everybody last year said Myles Garrett was the best draft pick. And they got him. Like there wasn't a lot of. Like he graded out better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The quarterbacks right now are ranked, at this moment, ranked higher than anybody.
So that means they're not moving.
Unless they can't separate or they feel, you know what? I feel just
no,
as good
I'm
about
sorry.
Allen.
I meant the quarterbacks aren't moving. Like the it quarterbacks probably
like
aren't going to fall.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks will jump high. They rarely fall, at least we've seen them fall on draft day.
Right.
We rarely see them fall in these ever so valuable mock drafts that come out in December.
Yeah. I think one of the guys I've seen, defensive end from North Carolina State, Nick Chubb. I don't think anybody's in like 4, 5, 6, somewhere in that range. I don't think anybody's trading to get number one to get him.
Right.
You might go to 4, 3. Right. But yeah, if you're trading up, you're trying to get a quarterback.
Text line here, 44-11-40. Garrett Temple, by the way, joins us in 7 minutes. Weren't they going to take Manziel? I think he's referring to the Cowboys. That wasn't the Ezekiel Elliott draft.
Yeah,
that wasn't a different draft. And yes, they were going to take Johnny Manziel, thankfully. Can't believe I'm going to utter this phrase. Steven Jones. Was the voice of reason and told Jerry that we need to take this young lineman named Zach Martin, who turned out to be probably the best thing that's happened to that organization since DeMarcus Ware was drafted. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. There's this text right here. I'm sure you saw it, J-Raw.
Yeah, I'm coming
Death,
now.
Taxes, Garrett Temple interview after a loss. That's entirely too accurate. He joins us next here on The Lowdown. I'm just going to let this one play, man. Come on. All three of us were singing it. Can't lie. I saw Bobby Brown in concert. Did I mention that? He sucked. Oh, it was bad.
It don't
sucked
ruin it.
So
that
bad.
That song is great.
I need you to get Garrett on the phone there, Chris. <Like that>. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings.
No, I do
believe. Dude, it was bad.
I believe
I'm
it.
Telling you, man. He did like a 49-minute rendition of Good Enough.
Yeah, but that's a great song.
Yeah, it is. But
that's my favorite song of his.
I think it's one of my favorites, too. But once you get 30 minutes in, like, bro.
It's enough?
He
that
starts,
was good enough?
Dude. He'll be here all weekend, yes. Folks. Tip your waitresses. He was just walking around dabbing sweat off his head, like, for the whole time.
Yeah.
It was awful. He made the worst, like, entrance. Said that, like, two guys came out, like, rapping.
Bobby,
we were like,
bro.
Who the hell is that?
Yeah.
And they come out, they're doing their thing, and then Bobby just walks out like, hey, I'm here. Like, no, wait, there wasn't even a grand entrance.
It's like, hey, Los Angeles. No, you're
not. No, Bobby, like, no, man. No, he was so obviously drunk, too.
Oh.
It was the worst.
Nice.
It was the absolute
that
worst.
Sounds amazing, actually.
Dude, you're actually selling it.
I wanted to see it now.
But
it was
and
a train
I love
wreck?
Bobby, man. Yeah. I love Bobby. It was so frustrating.
All right.
So frustrating. Happy to bring in Garrett Temple of the Sacramento Kings. Garrett, have you ever seen Bobby Brown in person?
I've never seen Bobby Brown in person. Nah, that's a random question.
Yeah, don't. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Damien said it was a terrible show.
Yeah, just really? Don't. Bobby did a 45-minute rendition of Good Enough. It was all bad, man. He sang like 4 songs but was on stage for 2 hours.
Wow.
Not good, man. Not good, man. How you enjoying being in Minnesota in December for 3 straight days?
I would have loved to be in Toronto, but I actually have a friend that lives here, him and his wife, so I'm able to spend time with them.
Okay.
This is definitely cold here. I'm cooped up in the hotel right now. I feel good.
Yeah, we were saying that, like, there's got to be a team vote. We know Coach is from Minnesota. He's got family and friends there. But everybody wants to go to Toronto. I got to believe the whole traveling party would rather be in Toronto.
Yeah, I think if we took a vote, people would vote. We'd rather be in Toronto. But I think guys are going to go to the Mall of America. And like I say, I'm lucky because I have a personal friend here. So,
there you go.
It worked out. But I'd much rather be in Toronto.
Yeah, I'll let you know, Garrett, you've got the entire city sleeping in 90-minute cycles.
Yes, you do. The perfect nap.
It's like we did the morning show a couple days ago, and I went home and took a nap, and I woke up so excited, man, because if it wasn't exactly 90 minutes, it must have been like 92, and I can't tell you how good I felt after that. That's what we call it. I called Jason right away and said, man, I had the perfect Garrett Temple nap today.
Hey, bro, I'm telling you, it does work. From what I've been feeling, every time I wake up, every time I take a nap, or if I sleep through the night, 7.5 hours or 9 hours, I feel great, man. If I get that 8 hour or 8-10, it's like, it's not the same. It's just not the same, man. Yeah,
Garrett, we even have a text right here. It says, you guys need a weekly health segment with Garrett. His sleeping / napping tips were fantastic. Now I only take 90-minute naps. I wake up feeling amazing. See, everybody's on board.
Yeah.
Changing.
Now we got to get people on board about this water. Teach people about water and pH level and stuff.
What do we know?
I've heard this. This is pretty advanced here.
I mean, first of all, we know you're supposed to drink water to balance out the, you know, your pH level in your body. Obviously, your body is over 70% water. But the water that we're drinking, you know, sometimes the pH level isn't great. The lower the pH level, the more acidic the water is, obviously. So you want to drink alkaline water. And, you know, a lot of our team is drinking Essentia water now, which is basically like 9.5 pH level. So basically, you want to drink water that has the highest pH. Not to be, you know, rag on anybody's parade, but like Aquafina, Dasani, those pH levels are really like 4.5 or 5, which is not good at all. So we need to make sure we're drinking water that has at least a 7.5 pH. Fiji is like 7.7. And just get a little pH strip and test it, you know, to see where your water's at. Try to get the highest pH water you can.
And how much water a day?
As much as you can. All I drink is water. I drink Gatorade every now and then, but as much water as you can. I don't really know a certain amount. It depends on how much you sweat and how much, you know, movement you do during the day. But you got to stay hydrated, man, you know.
Well, we got to shift gears here, unfortunately. Can you guys take away anything from the game last night?
A few things. You know, after watching film, we noticed defensively, especially in the first half, we had some good defensive segments. They were making some tough shots, especially, obviously, Cat. Towns was making some real tough shots in the first half, some shots that you couldn't play any better defense. And then in the second half, Jimmy hit a couple of tough ones with two people on him. You know, but at the end of the day, we still had a lot of things that we are supposed to be doing, both offensively and defensively, that we are not doing. And it's simple fixes. So we watched about 40 minutes of film today. And, you know, hopefully we change it when we go up to the round.
How about your teammate De'Aaron? Kind of, that was an awkward play, bang knees or maybe the thigh midsection. I'm not sure where exactly he connected there with Towns. But any word on how you think he might be going forward?
Yeah, I think he's going to be okay. He was shooting a little bit today. But, yeah, I was in the game when it happened, but I didn't really see it. And when he told me about it, I remembered it vaguely. But, yeah, like you said, it's just a little freak accident, cutting through the lane. I mean, Fox is so small, man, you know what I'm saying, so slim. So any little nick or neck may have him out of game. So I think if he's not able to play in Toronto, he should be good for the next game.
Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings with us here on the Lowdown. Garrett, I'm sure you're frustrated with the way your shot has been over the course of the last three or four games or so, but as a player, as someone who's been in the league as long as you have, how do you just try to put the last game out of your mind and keep shooting, knowing at some point that ball is going to fall in for you?
You just do it. There's really nothing to actually do or anything to say. You just go out and continue to trust the work you've been putting in, continue to put in the same work, and just trust your shot, you know. My first actually jumper I had last night, I hit it. And then, you know, I think a couple of times offensively, we got to make sure that we're, you know, just everybody in general. But if we're in the same, if we're playing the right way, then people know when their shots are coming. And I think especially the last two or three games, you know, offensively, I didn't know if my where my shot was coming from, you know, or when I'd get the shot. So, you know, to help somebody that's in a slump, or just in general, to help the offense flow, you know, just playing, making the right plays and being in the right positions, getting the ball at the right time, you know, the right rhythm, that helps people just make shots in general, or help people get out of slumps.
Garrett, the game tomorrow, excuse me, Sunday against Toronto reminds me a little bit of when you had Milwaukee twice in a week, where you played them here. Kind of had that experience, then went there, had a rough start, but then regrouped and got back in that game. You kind of feel the same way with kind of such recent knowledge with Toronto, just playing them this last Sunday, playing them again. What do you feel like you have to tweak this time against the Raptors?
Yeah, I think we got to come out, obviously, with a different energy than we did against them the first time. You know, got to keep them off the foul line. I was in terrible foul trouble in that game. We got to understand that, you know, DeMar's going to get calls. Kyle's going to get calls. We got to play defense without fouling. And, you know, try to change the things that we saw on film. Like I said, you know, one thing I said in the locker room last night was we have to start holding each other accountable. Even though we're a young team, we have to start holding each other accountable as players. You know, coach can't point out every single thing that we do wrong. So as players, we have to start holding each other accountable and start feeling bad if we don't do something right on the floor. And, you know, that comes with time. And like I said, hopefully we can change some things when we do play Toronto.
You guys had one of your better foul shooting games yesterday. Unfortunately, you didn't shoot very many. And that's a topic that we've discussed with you before. Does that come up in your film sessions about being aggressive and getting to the basket and trying to get other teams in foul trouble?
Yeah, it didn't today. But it comes up, like, at the end of the game, we knew we had 11. We shot 11 free throws in the first half and one in the second. You know, and it was a, you know, what, 8-point game at halftime. Should have been 5 if we had defended at the last possession.
Yeah.
But, you know, those type of things really matter, especially when you get to the foul line, when you attack the basket, you don't allow people to get out and run. And obviously, us having turnovers last night allowed them to have a lot of transition. But when you, like I said, when you get to the foul line, you slow the game down. So even if you're not making shots, you're still being able to get back and set your defense. And I think that's something that we've got to continue to talk about and continue to harp on if we're trying to compete and be a better team.
Feels like you guys have been living on the road. Have you finished Blood Brothers yet?
Yeah, I finished Blood Brothers, man. Blood Brothers. My mom actually came. She was in town this past week, and she took it with her. She said she's going to read it.
Man.
So, because she grew up watching Cassius Clay and then, obviously, when he went to Muhammad Ali and stuff and, you know, listening to Malcolm. So she excited about reading it.
Doug Christie and I both downloaded, like, the second you said it, Doug and I downloaded it. I walked out of the studio. Doug was doing the same thing. He was downloading it also. I'll probably finish it tonight or this weekend, man. That is a fantastic book.
I told you, bro.
Yeah.
I told you, bro.
Man.
So great.
It really is. And it's really good for people, because Jason and I talk about this a lot, Garrett, is the kind of how Muhammad Ali turned into a myth. And we actually forget what Muhammad Ali was going through back in the 60s. And we associate Ali with like this civil rights icon. And that book lays out so clearly, he wanted no part of that.
No part of that.
It is an absolutely incredible book.
Forget how young, like, okay, he was 21, 22, 23 at this time. Like, he and people were looking at him as a, like you said, an icon. Like he wanted no parts of that. It's a 4 or 5 year span where he, you know, writes about, and it's so descriptive. I feel like I'm there every time.
Yeah.
Him and Ali, him and Malcolm meet and stuff. It's great, man.
And if you haven't read the autobiography of Malcolm X, this is a really good shortcut to get like the last few years of his life and his relationship or
very much so.
Lack thereof with Muhammad Ali. Really, man, that was
exactly, that was
a great recommendation, Gary. That's a top five book right there.
No, I got you, brother. Come on now. I need you to recommend one for me now.
Okay. Well, hold on, man. I got to finish yours. Wait a minute. Let me get through. Let me get through Blood Brothers. You go get the win in Toronto, and I'll have a book for you next week.
Sounds good.
All right. We appreciate you, man. Be well.
All right. Then appreciate y'all having me, man.
All right. That is Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. We'll come back. Reset. We got some things on the way. I hated bringing up, man. I wanted to talk about anything but that game last night. But I was one thing I am curious after those losses is how long is the film session?
Yeah.
You know, you get, I mean, 40 minutes. That's a long ass film session. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. Man, you said this early. You said this a couple of weeks ago. People have been saying, man, LeBron's having his best year. You don't think so. I got some numbers for you. We'll touch on that next. You are the most annoying producer ever.
I swear. Me?
Yes. You.
Great.
You're so annoying. What is that? That's the theme music for your boy, Joey Ryan and Macaulay Culkin?
It's the world's cutest tag team, Candace LeRae and Joey Ryan.
It's Get Your Boy.
Get Your Boy, is that please. Now?
Actually, it's Candace LeRae's theme song, and they both come out to it.
Did Macaulay Culkin wrestle last night?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Like with the Ryan. Like the Home Alone Macaulay Culkin.
Actually,
like,
I think it was Kevin McAllister that wrestled.
No, he didn't.
Because he came out with a paint can.
And he used it.
He used it.
Are you serious right now?
Against Hornswoggle.
I'm going home. I can't
wrestling.
Deal with
wrestling
this.
Is the best thing on earth.
Macaulay Culkin wrestled for real?
Yep.
Like, he didn't wrestle. He came, like, the referee was down.
He won.
He happened to have a paint can with him.
Just happened to.
Macaulay Culkin, Kevin McAllister. That's fantastic.
Years haven't been good, kind to
no,
Macaulay
no,
Culkin.
No. Indeed, they have not.
He was home alone a long time.
Performing all weekend, folks.
Like a couple of times.
Tip your waitresses. Try the veal. That is Jason H.W.
Who has the veal?
Yeah. What comedy club sells veal, by the way?
And who orders it?
Yeah. Somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody. Well, those are like New York country club. I mean, New York comedy club, okay. Right? Hey, try the veal. Anyways.
Veal parm.
It's Friday. Come on, man. What
Forget
do you want from
it.
Us? Forget about it. What are we doing here? Start the show over, for
no,
goodness
we're
sakes.
We're on a roll. I just had a 90-minute nap and some pH water.
But I know Garrett went over a lot of people's head with that pH water.
Mine, too. I'm like, well, okay. Wait, oh, I need to test it. It needs to be over. What was the number? 9.5?
I've heard that before, and it's not cheap drinking hot, the proper pH water.
Yeah,
that was a difference. I've been able to keep up all other health habits. That's not one I was able to keep up.
Yeah.
Your chance to win tickets to the NCAA doubleheader December 21st at the Golden 1 Center, Kansas versus Stanford and Sac State.
Stingers up.
Versus Portland. You've got about 9 minutes to get your tweets to us at Jason Ross, 1140, and at Damian Barling. If you just screenshot yourself, if you just screenshot your phone, or you take a selfie of you listening online, whether it's KHTK.com or the KHTK app, we'll enter you to win. If you entered yesterday, if you sent one yesterday, cool. You're still entered. No problem at all. But we wanted to give everyone who listens on the app an opportunity to win tickets to this as well. This has been a pretty hot ticket for us. We're happy to have these. We're happy to give them to you, and we're really happy about the response that we've gotten so far to this. So we're going to do a lot more of this in 2018. And thank you again to everybody who has rated the new KHTK app as well. It's starting to get noticed out there, starting to get downloaded a lot, and a lot of you are listening to us on that. We're really, really, really grateful. Thank you so much. Blood Brothers, I must read this. That's on 44-1140. Yes, you must. It is a fantastic book. And again, I've read a lot on Muhammad Ali, so this was just kind of a great, like, refresher course. Oh, I just thought of a book for Garrett that I got to send him. It's a great refresher course because Muhammad Ali, we've talked about this before, is so many people have forgotten what he went through in the 60s and what he wanted to be in the 60s, and we've just changed it to fit our narrative. Like, Colin Kaepernick is the new Muhammad Ali. Like, I get the line of thinking, but no, because there was nothing about the civil rights movement that Muhammad Ali wanted a part of. In fact, Muhammad Ali was a part of a group that pushed separatism, non-segregation, the Black Muslims. Like, it's really a great, great book. If you're a reader, Blood Brothers, that's the name of it. Go check it out. You're the movie guy. Are you going to Star Wars?
Since I got the movie pass, I probably will.
Okay.
That didn't sound like a rave.
It didn't.
A lot of people are going crazy for it.
I was looking at social.
Not you?
I've never seen a Star Wars movie.
Any of them?
Never. Okay. No. I'm just not into sci-fi.
Yeah.
It's never been a thing of mine.
I saw the original. I never know how to word them, but the first 3 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And nothing since, but yeah. I mean, I know they had Star Wars Night the other night at the arena.
You mean like, when you say, I know this is confusing, you mean like the 80s ones?
Yeah, 70s and 80s.
Or 70s and 80s, yeah.
Yeah, okay. 4, 5. Technically, I think they're right. 4, 5, and 6, whatever.
Which, by the way, is brilliant. I love the way that they did that. Whether they did it intentionally or not is brilliant. I love that they did, what was it, 4, 5, and 6?
Then like 1, 2, and 3.
I thought that's awesome.
Even though,
because it builds so much anticipation. I'm almost jealous that I'm not
into it.
A nerd. Yeah. What are they called? Star Wars nerds?
You're a nerd.
I know I'm a nerd, but whatever they're called. I know Star Trek people are called Trekkies, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. I always get jealous when the movie comes out because it's like, man, everybody's really excited for this. I feel like if I'd go see it, I wouldn't know what the hell is happening, or I wouldn't be excited.
What's weird is I remember back then when those first three came out, but that was like, that's all they're going to do. That was the talk then. So it was like, yeah, there's supposed to be 3 before and 3 after. They're not going to make them. It took a long time for them to finally get into making them, and they've done well, and this will do well. This will be a crazy hit, right? I mean, a ton of people will go and see it.
People are going nuts over this.
Yeah.
I wasn't alive when the first 3 came out.
I wasn't either.
Sorry.
Or I was.
He has control of his own microphone, guys. There's nothing I can do about it. Have you
seen? Just want to let you know, Jason.
Yeah, I know. I know you do. Have you seen what?
Damien, I'm not a sci-fi dude either, but Star Wars is dope. Damien likes wrestling, but not sci-fi. And they just go on to Max. Laugh. I've always wanted to. Now it just feels like a time commitment because there's like 6 of them.
Do you have to catch up or can you just watch this one?
There's 8 of them.
There's 8 of them?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But can you just like go to watch this one without catching up?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Can I? I have no idea.
Yeah. I guess you wouldn't know, right?
I would know.
A little bit of a backdrop.
I'd be the guy asking everybody, who's that?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
What's he do?
Like, I would know the characters if it's the same character. Because the new one that came out a while ago, wasn't that, it's the same people, right?
I think so.
Isn't it like Harrison Ford, and wasn't Carrie Fisher in it before she passed away? Weren't all those people in it?
Yeah, they were, right?
Oh, thanks. He's not the best producer in the business for no reason, folks.
Well, I don't know how far I should go into, they were in it. But
okay. Bigger dorks, wrestling dorks, or Star Wars dorks?
Wrestling.
Oh, wrestling, yeah. Wrestling.
Oh, you guys confirm that?
By a long shot.
Wow.
Because you go to wrestling shows, and you're like, I can't believe I like the same thing that these guys like.
Because you're really hoping when you go to a wrestling show, you're the normal one. You're really hoping that.
Who dresses up more?
Star Wars.
Oh, it's close. Yeah, yeah. But it's close.
Like, if
it's close.
You go to a WrestleMania.
Yeah, if you go to WrestleMania.
There's a large percentage that are dressed up.
WrestleMania is like Comic-Con of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the same thing.
It's damn near is. We got the Friday Five, and Jason's mystery game, whatever that is, I swear.
Sweeping the nation.
I don't know what it is, but that's coming up at 2:30. Final hour of the week next.